Welcome to our Bible study of the Gospel according to Matthew. Today is Wednesday, September 4th, 2024. We'll be meeting here in the NLA Start Meeting Room every Wednesday at 7:30 to 8:30 p.m. Eastern. For those listening in on YouTube or Rumble and would like to join us live, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org/Bible studies for instructions to join us. Our study will be about 45 minutes with a 15-minute Q&A for questions, comments, or corrections. No one raises their hands. We'll continue our study for the additional 15 minutes. If you have any questions, please note the book, chapter, and verse so that we can easily go back to the verses in question. Okay, let's begin with a prayer. Holy, gracious Heavenly Father, again we admit that without you, we would know nothing at all. Therefore, we pray that thy Holy Spirit will continue to lead us in truth. Father, we ask that if any are among us that are still deceived in our hearts, we pray that thou will create in them a new heart and renew a right spirit. Father, bless us as we continue in our study in thy word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I'll lower my phone here a bit. Okay, we're going to be picking up, we finished chapter 10, and we also looked at strangers last week. And ultimately, the conclusion that strangers were the Gentiles. But here in the New Testament era, it would be those who are non-Christians, those who are not familiar with God's Word. And again, they'd be Gentiles. But those of us who are Gentiles and become born again, we then enter into the kingdom of God. This week I want to take a look at Satan and the devils. Often been unclear about a lot of the things that we read in the Gospels concerning the casting out devils. Never really gave too much thought about it. I've heard some people speak a little bit about it. So I wanted to do a study on this and I think it's important anyway as we continue on our Gospels here to understand this idea of the devils and Satan and how he works. Let's see if I can get this open. Okay, here we go. Okay, I got quite a few verses. I don't think we're going to get through all these verses. If we do, it'll take two hours. It'll take two of our studies. But I think I'm going to skip some of these things in here. So I've done a pretty good in-depth study, and I wanted to look to see all the names of Satan. And there are others other than what I've got here, but these are really the ones that we are most familiar with. In Revelations chapter 9, verse 11, we read, "And they had a king over them, which is the angel or the messenger of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, which means destruction. But in the Greek tongue, hath his name Apollyon." Now, some of the names we know of Satan, Satan, the devil, Beelzebub, Abaddon, Apollyon, Belial, Baal, the dragon, the serpent, evil spirit, accuser, adversary, angel of the bottomless pit, enemy, tempter, unclean spirits, legion, Lucifer, Leviathan, dragon, and serpents. And all of this, of course, identifies with Satan and the devils. The beast, Leviathan, false prophets. We read in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand it in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." And the idea of standing, of course, identifies with bringing forth the true gospel. To stand is to bring forth the good true gospel, or to preach, to teach. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplates of righteousness. Of course, Christ is our righteousness. He is the truth. He is the Word. And your feet trod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, to stand in God's Word, in His gospel. Above all, taking the shield of faith. And of course, Christ is our faith. Wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of the knowledge of your salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which again is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayers and supplications in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, from our past studies, we've come to realize that it's the time of the great apostasia. And many people don't even realize it. They don't even see it. Possession seems to be in the heart of the believer, you know, possession out of the heart. We read in John chapter 13, and we're talking about, of course, possession by the unholy spirit, possession by Satan or devil. We read in John chapter 13, verse 2, and supper being ended, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. So that's an interesting picture we see here. The devil is putting things into the heart. You know, the Bible talks about us becoming born again, creating me a new heart. Lord, renew a right spirit in me. And again, if we're unsaved, we're in the kingdom of Satan. If we're unsaved, then we're being tempted and being led by the devil. And I heard many people say, you know, in the past, that there are demons all about us. Spiritually, there's a spiritual realm amongst us. And from my study, looking at this, I would agree with that at this point, that we deal with the devil all the time. And the devil gets to us where? In the heart. And until the devil is cast out of that heart by a right spirit being in us, because, of course, if Christ is dwelling within us, the Holy Spirit, then, of course, Satan can't be there. And that's where the kingdom of heaven is. So the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, so there was something wrong with his heart. His heart was not right. And there was a devil dwelling within him. And again, there are devils dwelling in everyone that is not saved. Everyone. Of course, some are more deceived and more destroyed. You know, we have things like people who were raped, serial killers. I mean, that's probably in the extreme. We have people who worship the devil, but generally speaking, you know, the devil gets to us, usually generally speaking, from within the heart. But once he's cast out, he can't get to us from within the heart no more, because the Bible tells us we can't sin anymore, and the sin that God is talking about is in the heart. And of course, we fall into sin, and the devil might tempt us from outside of our heart, you know, from outside of our body. And of course, that's where repentance comes in. We also always have to be careful that we don't fall into sin. But we read in Matthew chapter 15, verse 17, do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the dross? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murderers, adulterers, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. So again, you know, we have people that are murderers, and, you know, they don't think nothing of taking a life. Their heart is not right, of course. Their heart is really sold to the kingdom of Satan. And a lot of people have a lot of problems with committing adultery or fornications. A lot of people have problems being a thief. And again, in all these cases, you know, I remember when I was young, watching cartoons particularly, and there was this little idea where, you know, in some of these cartoons, the devil would be whispering in the ear of the cartoon figure, whatever it was, I forget, on one shoulder, and the angel on the other shoulder. And that's an interesting idea now that I think back at that, because I think that's where we're at. You know, there's a spiritual world around us. Satan was cast out. Where was he cast out? Into the earth. He was cast out into this world, and ultimately into the corporate body to some degree, because the corporate body always has the problem with unsaved individuals that are coming under the hearing. Some will become born again, and many will not. So there is a spiritual world amongst us, around us. We read in Mark chapter 7, verse 20, and he said, "That which cometh out of the man that defileth a man, for from within our hearts of men, I mean from out of the hearts of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness, all these evil things come from within and defile the man." So again, that's very similar to Matthew 15 we were just looking at, but it did add some other things in here. In 1 John chapter 3, we read verse 16, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whosoever hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby know we that we are the truth. We are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him." So that's what we have to examine ourselves in our hearts. You know, we may, when we become Christians, and people may not, express sin out as much as they do, but what's going on in the hearts? That's the question. And the heart is connected to the mind. We're going to find that in a minute. So let me step back here. "And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our hearts condemn us not, then have we confidence towards God." And so if we examine ourselves in our hearts, what's going on in our hearts, then we're going to see our true situation before God. "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments." And where do we keep it? In the hearts. "And do those things which are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another." Now, a lot of people claim that they believe in the Son, Jesus Christ, but Jesus says, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." And that's the key. Are you keeping the commandments? And you're keeping the commandments in the hidden place of the heart and in the mind. So let me step back again here. "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandments. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us." So our spirit, you know, will really bear witness of the spirit of others, and vice versa, back and forth, knowing that we dwell within Christ. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4, But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. So it's the hidden man of the heart. That's where things go. That's where the problems are. And again, you know, we may not do much in the flesh expressing outwardly, but what's going on in the mind? That's the big key here. And that's where we have to examine ourselves. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. And there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought him, but bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah and 8 persons, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the floods upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that should live a life ungodly. Live ungodly. And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversations of the wicked. For that righteous man, dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment, to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness, and despise governments, presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels or messengers, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusations against them before the Lord. But these as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings, while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, a heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way, and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. So that's in a very interesting picture, having eyes full of adultery, cannot cease from sin. And such was all of us before we became born again. Beguiling unstable souls, a heart that they exercise with covetous practice, cursed children, and have they forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor. Okay, but was let me finish it. Who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity, the dumbass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water. Clouds they are carried about with a tempest. You know, they claim to be a cloud of believers. They claim to be bringing forth the well of the gospel, the water of the gospel. But these are wells without water and clouds that are carried about with a tempest. They have no water, no gospel, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of their flesh, through much wantonness. Those that were clean escaped from them who lived in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome of the same, is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, so that means people who have come under the hearing and started to respond, so they've come, they've escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They're again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse than with them from the beginning, than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, and after they had known it, to turn from the holy commandments delivered unto them. But it has happened. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb. The dog is turned to his own vomit. And again, the soul that was washed to her wallower in the mire. Let me see if I can shut that off. Hang on a second. All right, let me just back up a bit here in verse 21. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, and after that they had known it, to be turned from the holy commandments delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. In Hebrews chapter 3, we read in verse 7, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, it will, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation. That's the day of provocation, the day that we are provoked and tempted in the wilderness. And the wilderness is identified ultimately with the New Testament era, by the way. So let me get back one verse here, verse 8. Harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partners or partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. Okay, again, all the work is going on in the hearts, and we're going to see, I think, coming up soon, how the heart is directly connected with the mind. Whatever is going on in the heart is working in the mind. James chapter 1, verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, well, that's the Bible, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house, they're not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. God speaks about those building the house with wood, hay, and stubble, and of course precious stones, and their work is tried in the fire. And that particularly, it's a focus of all of us, really, but it's also a big focus on the churches when they go apostate. And again, churches have been going apostate for thousands of years. When one church go down, God will raise other churches up. But then, of course, there's the great apostasia. Okay, so there's wood, hay, and stubble is the picture here. Let me go back here a bit. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, and those are the things tried in the fire, but also of wood, hay, and earth. Wood and earth. Another place God does add the word hay in there. And of course, with the time of trying, that all burns up. And some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, to get rid of the wood and the earth. So if he purges himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, coming under the hearing, responding, and meet for his master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. 1 Timothy 1:5. And the end of the commandment is charity, out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience and faith unfrayed. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts, who being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. So again, back into the hearts and into the mind. Psalms chapter 51, verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within me. Psalms 95:8, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, and as in the days of, or the day of temptation in the wilderness. Again, that's the time of being provoked and tempted by the devil, you know, literally the church, during the days of temptation, the great tribulation. Revelation chapter 12, verse 1. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, that's the light of the gospel, and the moon under her feet, that's the law of God, identifying specifically with the Old Testament. And upon her head a crown of 12 stars, crown identifying with being a queen in this case, the bride of Christ. And of course, the 12 identifies with the fullness, and the stars identify with believers. And she, being with child, and that child is Christ, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, and that is Satan, having 7 heads and 10 horns. 7 is the perfection of the leadership, in this case, the heads, and the power, the completeness of his power. Horns is power. And 7 crowns upon his head. Again, the perfection of his kingdom. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. And he did cast them to the earth. And again, the stars identify with the believers. And it is always a one-third, two-thirds relationship here. Two-thirds, are really destroyed and lost, and one-third is tried in the fire and saved. And God breaks things down into these three-thirds. One-third is identifying with the unsaved in the world. Another third is identifying with the unsaved who claim to be of Christ or of God. And then there's the other third, which is, of course, the body of Christ. So the two-thirds are the two-thirds identifying with the lost. Those in the church and those out of the church. So the dragon stood before the woman. Well, let's step back a little bit here. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to deliver her child. That, of course, is the Old Testament churches is what in view. And the child to be delivered, of course, is Christ, as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule the nation with a rod of iron. And her child, Christ, was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman, the body of Christ, fled into the wilderness. There's the picture of the wilderness, identifying with the New Testament era, where she had a place prepared of God that they should be fed, her, that they should feed her there 1,203 score days. And that's a time clue, that 1,203 score days, time clue concerning things of the end. But again, the feeding, of course, is identifying with the feeding of the gospel, and the place in the wilderness that's prepared for her, of course, is the corporate church, which God refers to as the earth, the place where the gospel seed is sown. And there was war in heaven. And this is the interesting thing. War in heaven. Where is war in heaven? There are three heavens. There's the heaven where God is. And there is the heaven, of course, where the gospel is being preached. There's sort of the heavens above the individuals and the earth. The heavens above the earth, where the water comes down to feed them. Again, a picture of bringing the gospel from off the pulpit in the church. That's the heavens that brings the living water. So that's one heaven, and there's another heaven, of course, where God is. And the third heaven, another heaven, is in the body of believers. And it was war in heaven. And as I'm looking, I've been going back into the Old Testament and reading a lot of different things back there concerning the individual, especially in Genesis. And you know, what does the Bible says? The Bible says that Abraham believed God, and it was that is what was counted him for righteousness. But Abraham was a sinner, and it seemed that, you know, again, deception seemed to be taking place in the hearts of even those who God was talking with and was leading through and you know, to bring forth, of course, eventually Christ into this world. So in the Old Testament, we also read of a picture, I think it's in Job. Yeah, it's in Job, where the sons of God are called, and there comes Satan in the midst of them. And of course, God has a conversation with Satan. So I think in the Old Testament, the picture is, of course, is that, you know, Satan can still get to people in their hearts, whereas today, once we have a new heart, Satan can't get to us from within. He can only get to us from without. So on the outside and not from within. And I think that's the picture where the war is. Because remember, you know, we have to crucify the flesh. We have to turn from our sins. We have to cast out the bad. We have to receive the good. We have to respond to the gospel. Create in me a new spirit, a right spirit, a clean spirit. So we have to have a new heart. So there was war in heaven. Michael is a picture. Michael, the word Michael means one who assuredly is God. Michael, the chief messenger, or the archangel, arch meaning chief, angel meaning messenger. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, of course, of Satan, and the dragon and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And I think that is the point in time when Christ comes and dwells into the hearts of the believers, the Holy Spirit. He sends the Holy Spirit. Prior to that, the Holy Spirit had not been sent. Of course, certain individuals, God, you know, we read about Enoch, we read about Moses, and even Moses at the end of his life sinned, but his body was taken after he was died and buried. God took his body. So we have a few pictures, and of course, even the prophets, well, we find problems with some of the prophets. They had a heart problem because Satan was still getting to them. But the promise was there, and of course, they're saved by the same way we're saved. They're saved by the blood of the Lamb. They were looking forward to the cross. We're looking back at the cross. So we're all saved by the same blood, by Christ. But now we have the Holy Spirit. As Christ said, if he didn't leave, he wouldn't be able to send the Holy Spirit. So there was, let me step back. So in verse 7, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon, Satan, fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and the earth identifies, in this case, the parable picture, of course, is where the gospel seed is being planted and the vineyard is being cared for. So it's identifying with the gospel. So cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength. And when did that happen? That happened at the cross. That happened when Christ rose from the grave, resurrected, and ascended unto the Father, and sent forth the Holy Spirit. Now is come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser, and therein is Satan, of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, the word of God, the gospel. Christ is the word. And they loved not their lives unto death. you know, now we live for Christ. We don't live for the love of our own lives. We live for the love of Christ. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast onto the earth, he persecuted the woman, which brought forth the man-child, Christ. And to the woman were given two wings to identify with the church. In this case, it's the corporate church. Two wings of a great eagle. An eagle is an unclean bird. But he's identifying the idea with the wings of an eagle. Nevertheless, it's also a picture of the corporate church. Many people in the corporate church are unsaved. That's the constant state throughout the church age. But again, it's also the birthing place. God refers to it as the matrix. God refers to it as the belly. As the womb, that which is in the church, in the corporate body, that she might fly into the wilderness. So let's go back. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness. Again, bringing us in through the New Testament era, into her place where she is nourished for a times, times and a half of times from the face of the serpent. So that's the church age. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood, so it's a flood of false doctrines, after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood of false doctrines. And the earth, the corporate body, helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood of false doctrines, which the devil, or the dragon, cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And of course, that's the picture of Armageddon. But ultimately, Armageddon takes place in the hearts of the people. You know, there's a big battle going on, and we crucify the flesh, and hopefully, eventually, we become born again through that process. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2. Ye are our epistles, written in our hearts, known and read of men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Acts 28:27. For the heart of this people is waxed gross. Again, what's going on in the hearts? And their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Romans 2:5. But after thy hardness and impertinent heart, it's impervious to moral persuasion, treasure up unto yourself wrath, treasureth up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. Matthew 9:32. As he went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. So now again, these are parables. God's given us a picture of parables identifying with an individual that was dumb, possessed with a devil. And that's what I've really been trying to figure out and how I might understand these things, because we can't turn around and say, well, anybody who is a lunatic, for instance, or is dumb, you know, they can't speak, or they're deaf, they can't hear. We can't say that they have a devil in them, but God is giving us an example, giving us a parable. And it is true that devils, again, if anybody is unsaved, then the kingdom of Satan dwells within them. Because, again, there are two spirits, and man was made a living soul. And this is the battleground. You know, the temptation took place in the garden, you know, when they ate off the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And from that point forward, and the devil was right there. There was conversations. There was communications. Matthew 12:22. So we're going to look at a series of places where God speaks about the devil being inside people. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb. And he healed him insomuch that the blind and the dumb both spake and saw. Now, again, this idea of being blind, unable to see the truth, dumb, unable to bring forth the gospel, those are the spiritual pictures. But these are physical individuals, people who literally were blind and dumb, and literally were possessed with the devil. And again, everyone that is not born again, that has not been translated into God's kingdom, is, indwelt by devils. They're communicating in the hearts of men. They tempt men. We saw how with Judas, that the devil came and got into the heart and tempted him and put into the heart, and the mind reacted to what's in the heart. And of course, brings forth sin. Okay, Matthew 12:38. The field is the world. God is explaining to us a picture of a parable. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that soweth them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. Okay, so God's given us a picture of how to look at these parables that he gives to us. But again, the focus here is on the children of the wicked. The enemy that sowed them is the devil, and they're working in the children of the wicked. So there is a war going on. It's been going on, going all the way back to the beginning, right into the garden. But we can escape that war in the sense that when we become born again, because the Satan cannot get to us from within anymore. Matthew 15:22. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil." Matthew 17:18, and Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, "Why could not we cast him out?" And Jesus said unto them, "Because of your unbelief. For truly I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain," which identifies with, in this case, a kingdom of heaven, a kingdom of hell, Satan, "say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth out, but by prayer and fasting." Now prayer, of course, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, God tells us. So it means a lot to God. It plays into the process of his saving people throughout the world. So prayer, we pray for others. We saw the picture, I believe we already see this picture in Matthew, where the one individual was born by four, carried by four and brought up to the roof. They broke open the roof and brought down this individual before Jesus. And of course he was ill of the palsy. He was, he couldn't get up. He couldn't walk. He was paralyzed. And Jesus, of course, cured him, a picture of breaking the bonds of Satan. But the big picture here is the fact that four individuals, it's a picture of being brought before Christ in prayer when we have people that we meet, we know, family, loved ones, etc. And we bring them before God in prayer. And what else are we to be doing? Fasting. And the Bible tells us, is not this the fast that I have in view? The bread or the meat to the hungry. In other words, bringing forth the gospel. So prayer and bringing the gospel. Prayer and bringing the gospel. Howbeit this kind goeth out, but by prayer and bringing forth of the gospel. So it's a constant picture of preaching. I've been witnessing to some people for a very, very long time. And every once in a while we have conversations about God. They seem to be interested, but they're struggling really hard. And it's up to God to do the saving. I can only be the messenger. But I can be the one that prays, brings them before God in my prayers. When I speak with them, I'm already in prayer to God, bringing forth the gospel, hoping that they might respond. And that, again, is the picture of what Christian needs to be doing. But anyway, in this case here, You know, there are people that are lunatics and very well may have the devil, and I'd imagine a lot of times, of course, that has taken place. I saw something on YouTube recently about lunatics, and I started watching it, and it was pretty dramatic and frightening to some degree. These people, you know, they would attack, and I mean, they're lunatics, you know. Clearly, they must have something going on inside them, obviously. But again, you know, prayer and fasting is the key. And we have to be very careful never, ever, ever to tell anyone that they have a devil in them. Never to kind of put those kind of thoughts or ideas out there. You know, when we look back, as much as I can see back anyway, in churches and things, that kind of thing was never done. But I had seen that done in some churches, and those are churches I already known was also already, you know, gone apostate, you know. but anyway, it's for us to recognize certain things and realize that their spirit is not bearing witness with our spirit, and that's the key, and that they need the gospel, and they need to be brought before Christ, and we should have that earnest desire that they might respond to that gospel. And then it's all up to God's work. And again, we play into that because he uses us for that purpose, is to bring the gospel. Mark 5:15, and they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Mark 7:25, for a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him. And came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek. I'm not sure how to pronounce that. Let's see if I can get a pronunciation a minute.
Syrophoenician.
Syrophoenician. Okay, a Syrophoenician by nation. And she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. And again, I think that also we read another verse from another one of the other Gospels that is the same picture. Luke 4:33, and in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace, and come out of him." And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. Luke 8:28. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus? Thou Son of God Most High, I beseech thee, torment me not." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters. And he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Legion," because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. Okay, another picture, Luke 8:42. And as he was yet coming, the devil threw him down and tear him. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father. Luke 11:14. And he was casting out devils, and it was dumb. And it came to pass, when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, and the people wondered. John 6:70. Jesus answered them, "Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" John 8:41. "Ye do the deeds of your father." Then said they to him, "We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God." Jesus said unto them, "If God were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. Okay, so as we're looking at these things, the war in heaven, the war is here. This is where the war is. You know, again, there's the spirit world, which is, and Satan and his devils is working amongst us and moving in our hearts, tempting us and moving us towards sin, and some a lot more than others. But again, we're all saved. Those of us who are saved by the blood of the Lamb, and he is cast out of heaven. Out of the presence of Christ, out of the presence of God. Acts chapter 13. Let's go to Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of devil, for God was with him. Acts 13:6. And when they had gone through the Isle of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barabbas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O, full of all subtlety and mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. Let me see how many more verses we have in this area here. Quite a bit. Okay, I'm going to continue to read, and we'll see where we're at that point. When we get into the false prophets, we may start skipping a lot of verses, and it looks like we're going to be picking this back up and continue it next Wednesday. But let me finish reading here. Ephesians chapter 4, 26. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. So there is a righteous anger, and sometimes we can get angry, and it's not necessarily a sin because we're angry, and it's a righteous anger that we may have. But don't let it ferment in us. Don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. Don't go to sleep to wake up the next day with that anger and wrath still within you. Okay? Otherwise, you'd be giving place to the devil. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure, and I say that people are constantly, you know, opposing themselves. There's a battle going on. I see this often. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance, to the acknowledgement of the truth. That's where it begins. Repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taking them captive by him at his will. James 4:7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's a verse that really has stuck in my mind, and it's been a verse that's very helpful. Often that verse has come to my mind over the many, many years. The promise that if I resist the devil, he will depart from me, and that promise has remained true as I was turning from my sins and crucifying the flesh and so on, moving closer and closer to Christ. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. That's a promise. You know, interesting thing. Anybody who came to Christ and asked, he gave. He cured anybody that asked for him. And everyone he cured, you know, gives us a picture of some, you know, a spiritual picture. You know, healing the dumb or healing the deaf, giving us the ability to bring forth the gospel, to no longer be dumb, to be able to hear the word of God, to respond. You know, blessed is he who can hear. You know, So resist the devil, he will depart from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. And again, a double-minded person, and a lot of people are double-minded. And, I'm guilty of that too at one point in my time until I finally realized it. I was still dabbling in the world while I was really turning towards Christ. Keep your eyes single, not one eye on the world and one eye on Christ. You can't have both the world and Christ. Purify your heart, ye double-minded. Those who claim or want one thing and then go and do another thing. Double-minded. Peter, 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. The spiritual world is all around us. And remember the picture of the person who, went and cleaned out his house, so to speak, talking about his heart, ultimately, is the picture. And then he returns back, and the devil comes back and sees that the house is all cleansed, and it hasn't been filled with anything, it hasn't been filled with Christ. And so he brings seven friends, more worse than himself, and the last state of that man, of course, was worse than it was from the beginning. And we read some verses also about that would relate to that just a little while ago. So your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. 1 John 3:6, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not, to live in Christ. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doeth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. And of course that's Christ within us, and he cannot sin. And God is speaking about in the heart, be ye perfect, even as the Father is perfect. That's a commandment. How can you be perfect, even as the Father is perfect? But that's in your heart, in your soul existence, and working it through your mind. The heart has to be right. And when something comes in and deceives you through the mind from the outside world, and it's the mind that we have to deal with. The heart is in, if Christ is dwelling in you, of course, you cannot sin. And then there'll be, then it's a matter of crucifying the flesh to continue the battle, which we take that to the ends of the world, of course. Let me step back a verse here. Whosoever is born of God doeth not commit sin in the heart, for his seed remaineth in him. Christ is in us, the seed of the word of God, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Revelations 2:10. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you in prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. And this prison is really being prisoned in a false gospel, in a false church, in a church that has gone apostate. Therein is the prison. That ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. And this is focusing in particularly on the great tribulation, but also throughout the church age. In the world you'll have tribulation. Churches have gone apostate from time to time over the years, of course. We mentioned that numerous times. And, of course, number 10 is the completeness of what God has in view. 10 days is the completeness of time, whatever that might be. So you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Revelation 12:7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels. I think this, nope, this is more different verses. Let's just take a quick look. So we had read this, yeah. Revelation 12, that's the woman, so we're going to skip that. Okay, Revelation 20, verse 1. And I saw a messenger come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. Now, who has the key to the bottomless pit? Who can cast and lock the devil or the evil into a bottomless pit? And who can loosen it? Christ himself. So this picture of this messenger coming down from heaven that has the key of the bottomless pit, of course, is Christ. And a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. And cast him, and again, 1,000 is the completeness of whatever God has in view, a period of time, and in this case, it's about 2,000 years, because it's the New Testament era that is in view, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that, he must be loosed a little season. So many of the churches throughout the church age have been prosperous and moving forward. Again, time to time, one falls astray here and there and so on. But it's at the end of the world, the great apostasy, the great turning away, the falling away when Satan is loosed. Revelations 20:10. And the devil that deceiveth them was cast into the lake of fire and the brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are. Now, what is the beast? The number of the beast is the number of man, mankind. So it's identifying with the mankind. So mankind, the false prophets are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. So, you know, as I've gone through the Bible trying to understand certain things, one thing I've come to a conclusion of is that when God created a living soul, that soul is forever. And therein is the problem. And God is separating the wheat from the chaff. He's separating the light from the darkness. This is the battlegrounds where we're at right now in this world. False prophets. Okay, we're going to pick up on false prophets next week. Let me just scroll through this and we're going to close down in a few minutes. Looking at the differences of spirits. Beelzebub. We'll look at a lot of different names. I'm going to try to work through this, so we're not going to spend much more than one more hour on this next Wednesday. So I'm going to have to skip a lot of things. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. Again, I found this study, you know, kind of put a lot of things together in my mind that I was trying to work out over the years. And I never really deeply looked into Satan. And all the names of Satan, and the gods, you know, they were gods. All the devils, they're gods. God refers to them as gods, false gods, but they're gods. And even man, he refers to as gods. He says, "Have I not called ye gods?" And again, you know, we read in the in Revelation that when we see him, no, it's in Second Thessalonians, I think, and when we see him, we will see him as he is. For we will be like him. And he tells us, now are ye the sons of God. So the picture is that these are gods. And of course, it's the evil gods that identify him with Satan, of course. At least that's the picture I'm starting to develop and getting a little clearer in my mind. But we'll pick up on this again next Wednesday. And we'll start here with false prophets. And I'm going to review through this and try to cut some verses out and just give a few verses here or there. I want to look at the different pictures of Satan or the devil by name and action as we go through these verses. And maybe we don't need to look at that many verses in certain different categories, but we'll see where we go. Okay, with that, we've come to the end of our study. Lord willing, we'll see you on next Wednesday. Good night.
Good night.